on our screen this morning, you'll see a poster that I gave to my daughter Annabelle before she headed off to university. These words are attributed to Joan of Arc, said apparently as she embarked on a mission to save France from the English. We might read these words as being about career or vocation or purpose in life. But this statement goes even deeper than that. We've just heard another of Jesus' parables. The disciples ask that he increase their faith, and he replies with a story of mustard seeds and uprooting mulberry trees, and ends with statements about worthless slaves doing only what they ought to have done, statements that are likely to cause us in 2025 to bristle. The lectionary doesn't include the verses immediately before these ones, but they are important. Just before the disciples ask Jesus to increase their faith, he has said this to them: occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times a day and says, "I repent," you must forgive. Do not cause another to stumble, and if they sin and repent, forgive. This is about challenges in relationships and a call to be loving and generous and forgiving as we navigate these challenges. Do you think the disciples might have been a little afraid of what was being asked of them? I do. Increase our faith. This is the cry of disciples overwhelmed by scarcity. They are fearful that they don't have enough faith to do what Jesus has asked. This makes faith a commodity. It makes faith a competition. Jesus shows us again and again that this isn't what faith is about. Faith isn't about more or less. I listened to an interesting podcast about faith this week. It began with examples of opposites, such as lament and exultation, sorrow and joy, praise and criticism. The host of this podcast asked, "What is the opposite of faith? Is it doubt? Is it unfaithfulness?" Jesus shows us in this parable and in all that he did, Jesus shows us that the opposite of faith is fear. Faith is a way of being in the world. It's a way that trusts that the love and forgiveness and courage that Jesus embodied as he walked this earth is what we are made for in our humanity. How are we to interpret Jesus' examples about slaves in this parable? What about the word worthless? This word in Greek is more about need than profitability. It means that which should happen because it is needed. When this word is made negative, as in our passage this morning, it can also be translated as without need. To say that the disciples are slaves without need, having done only what they ought to have done, this removes the shadow that the word worthless casts over this example. What if Jesus, in fact, gives this example to show the disciples that they have what they need to be and to do what he is calling them to? What if we are invited to hear this parable as an invitation to be what we are made to be? Forgiven and forgiving, loving and courageous. What if this parable is an invitation to recognize that we have what we need to move through this earthly life of ours, saying, as Joan of Arc did, I am not afraid. I was born to do this. We have what we need inside, waiting to be lived out. And we have the example of Jesus to show us how to live it out. There is actually more to these words attributed to Joan of Arc. This was not a self-aggrandizing statement. It wasn't a statement of self-sufficiency and personal empowerment. Her words are shortened for impact. But there is more to what she said. The story goes that as she set off to visit the Dauphin, knowing that she'd travel through English-watched territory, she was asked how she could make such a journey. And she replied, I do not fear the soldiers, for my road is made open to me. And if the soldiers come, I have God, my Lord, who will know how to clear the route that leads to my Lord the Dauphin. It was for this that I was born. This is a statement of trust in God. Trust that God was with her. Trust that the way would be made clear. This is a statement of courage that comes not from self-sufficiency, but from relationship with God, from faith in God's accompaniment through this life. How do we focus on faith, not fear, as we walk this earth? What do we need to do to be able to say, I am not afraid? I was born to do this. Our other readings this morning speak to this. How, you might ask, how does the weeping by the shores of Babylon in our psalm, the dashing of little ones on the rocks, connect to this? How does the lament in our first reading connect to this? The recognition that God is with us in all things, the recognition that we have what we need in us and in the example of Jesus. We have what we need to live lovingly, courageously, generously in our humanity. Doesn't eliminate the challenges of this life, this world. We are not meant to deny the struggle, the lament, the sorrow, the trauma, that is a very real part of our human existence. Passages like our psalm this morning name those things. This is a psalm of a traumatized people. And we have these passages in Scripture to reflect the very real range of our human experience. Paul's letter to Timothy has, "I am not afraid. I was born to do this," between the lines. This is a letter of encouragement to trust in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. It acknowledges the help of the Holy Spirit as we move again and again from fear to trust, from fear to faith. We are made to be forgiven and forgiving, to be loving and courageous. We have what we need inside, waiting to be lived out. And we have the example of Jesus to show us how to live it out. To recognize that fear and faith are opposites doesn't mean that we'll never feel fear again. But Jesus calls us not to act out of that fear. He calls us to move and to act in this world with faith and courage that come from trust in God with us, and from a trust that we are loved and made to love. I offer in closing this prayer for courage by poet and author Padre Gotuma. May what he expresses here be reflected in our lives today and every day. He writes, "Courage comes from the heart, and we are always welcomed by God, the heart of all being. We bear witness to our faith, knowing that we are called to live lives of courage, love, and reconciliation in the ordinary and extraordinary moments of each day. We bear witness, too, to our failures and our complicity in the fractures of our world. May we be courageous today. May we learn today. May we love today. Amen."